JR's out tonight. I'm in. Final hour. Sports Machine Sean Levine with you right here on the Infinity Sports Network. And we got a lot to get caught up on. First of all, the scores are changing on the baseball diamond. So middle eighth, Cincy up 6-4 on Cleveland. Top of the ninth now, Chicago, the Cubs, and Phillies tied up at 2. And Boston scored 2 runs in the sixth to tie it up with Tampa. So now we're in the top of the 7-3-3 between the Rays and the Red Sox. We got hockey going on as well. 3:05 left in the first period, game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Panthers up 1-0. They got an early goal, like 1 minute of the game. Brad Marchand did his thing and put the Panthers on the board. So again, 2:46 left in the first period of that game. They're up 1-0. We will keep you updated the final hour of the show if anything changes on that scoreboard at all. But of course, the biggest news of the day, thank goodness, Ed the Zebra, after 8 days on the loose in Tennessee, everybody was worried sick about Ed the Zebra, didn't know where he was. He's been found on the side of a highway in Tennessee, which made me think, how many people own zebras? Like, I've known some people that own some weird-ass pets. Ryan, do you know what a capybara is? I think that's the way say it. You do? You're familiar with those? My buddy had one of those. I once knew a guy that had a lynx type cat. I don't know if it actually was, but I think it might have been, or maybe I'm just making that up. What about what's that weird fish? Axolotl, is that what they're called? My cousin had one of them weird looking things.
A koi fish?
No, not a koi fish.
I don't know.
AXOLOTL. You think I meant to say koi fish and I said axolotl?
I don't know random fish. I don't own fish.
Now I'm just looking up weird animals you can own. What is this? This can't be a real thing. KINKAGJOU. The way I pronounce that is a kinkajou? You should see. Dude, Google what I just said. Kinkajou. And wait till you see this little bat looking. It's disgusting. Little animal that comes up. Anyway, apparently a Pac-Man frog. What is this thing? A Degu? D-E-G-U. This thing looks like a giant mouse hamster gerbil thing. Anyway, if I ever get land, I don't care what the laws say, dude. I'm getting a giraffe. If I ever have 10 acres and a little bit of money, it's one thing to have a Lamborghini. It's one thing to have a 150-inch TV screen, right? 10 bathrooms in your house. Nobody's going to be as impressed if you take them out back and you've got a freaking giraffe. All right? Not saying. I'm just saying. Anyway. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Yes, thank goodness. Ed the Zebra is back in his, I guess, enclosure. It just seems like a very weird animal to own. Can you tame a zebra? Can you ride a zebra? Is a zebra that different from a horse except for the fact that it has stripes? Got to be honest with you. I know very little about zebras.
That's a good movie. Isn't that Racing Stripes? When they make a horse into a zebra, or a zebra into a horse?
That's a movie?
I'm pretty sure that there's a movie where a zebra becomes a racing horse.
You're making this up.
I'm not even joking. I think it's called Racing Stripes.
The last movie that I saw that was anything like that, just about some safari-type animal when I was a kid, there was a movie called Cheetah. I know there's going to be at least 3 people listening to me. We're on like 300 different stations across the country. There's probably 3 people this is resonating with, but it's worth it for me. There was a movie called Cheetah, Ryan, which me and my sisters loved. I swear, we saw it 10 times. There wasn't a word said in the whole movie. It was like a silent movie. I think my parents just basically let it babysit us. And it was called Cheetah. And I tend to think that if I watch it again as an adult, it's going to kind of be like watching Willy Wonka and Rookie of the Year. I'm going to be extremely disappointed. I think you're lying. I'm just going to say
that. I Googled it. Racing Stripes came out in 2005 with Hayden Panettiere and Dustin Hoffman. And
really?
Steve Harvey. And Snoop Dogg.
What?
Yeah.
The sticky, icky, icky, wee. What are you talking about? Wait, they take a... Do they take a zebra and turn it into a horse?
Into a racing horse, yes.
So they don't take a horse and paint stripes on it to turn it into a zebra.
It's a zebra turned into a racing horse.
Are zebras that fast?
I don't know.
See if zebras are faster than horses, because I've always been under the impression that horses and zebras were basically of the same speed. But now all of a sudden, you're telling me that zebras are just striped, faster version of horses?
Google says no, they are not. They can run up to 40 miles an hour, though, but a horse
can
55.
Who knew? Who knew? All right. Off the horses and the zebras and back to the basketball, something I actually know about. It seems to me that the Thunder are in such a good position to dominate the NBA for the next 5-10 years. All they got to do, and I'm not making it seem easy when I say this, is win 3 more games. They've done all the heavy lifting. When you're in Oklahoma City, which is the second smallest market in the NBA, you're not going to land a bunch of free agents. You're not going to make a bunch of trades. What I'm saying is it's not Dallas or Los Angeles or New York where guys just want to go there. Typically, you either get traded there and you go, middle America, Oklahoma City, which, by the way, it's a very underrated city. Bricktown's a lot of fun. Or you get drafted by that organization. And 15 years ago, the Thunder, when they first got to Oklahoma City, remember, they actually drafted Kevin Durant as a member of the Supersonics. They moved to OKC, and then they were good right away, where they drafted Durant, and then they drafted Russell Westbrook, then they drafted James Harden 3 years in a row, and then a couple of years after that, they were in the Western Conference Finals, and the year after that, they were in the NBA Finals, and we all know how that ended. Eventually, Kevin Durant, and I'm not pretending like Kevin Durant was only there for a rookie contract and then he said, screw it, I want out of Oklahoma, and he went to go play somewhere else. Kevin Durant did sign a couple of different contracts. His mama, the real MVP, like Kevin Durant had a really nice run, and there was a great love affair between him and the city while it lasted. But I also think that Kevin Durant eventually said, I'm not going to stay here in OKC. I got to go to a bigger market, a place where I can play with better teammates and give myself a chance to win a championship, because I think Durant thought, that's not going to happen here in Oklahoma. I think it's fun. I think the fan base loves me. I think the organization is going places. My teammates are really good. We're entertaining. But I think Kevin Durant wanted to win a championship. And he was there for 7 or 8 years and eventually said, screw it. And he ran to Golden State. Eventually, the same thing happened with James Harden. After 4 or 5 years, he was third fiddle. And he said, no, I could be a guy that averages 30-something points per game if I got the chance. By the way, Panthers score again with just 24 seconds left in the first period. So now Florida's up 2-0 over the Oilers, trying to go up 2-1 in the series, trying to make it back-to-back Stanley Cup final. I'll keep you updated on that hockey game. First period officially over. Panthers up 2-0. Back to what I was talking about in the NBA, where the Oklahoma City Thunder can only win one way. And that's what they did 15 years ago when they drafted Durant and Westbrook and Harden, and they got really good. Then eventually those guys left. And then for a few years, they sucked. It's crazy to think that they've been able to do it again, that they've been able to go out there and draft a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and turn him into basically Kevin Durant, leading the league in scoring. My mama, she's the real MVP. He's the current MVP, leading the league in scoring. And I would actually say if he's able to cash in, talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander this season, you could argue that he's already more accomplished than Durant. Because Durant went to a ready-made team to get his championships, and it's taken him 17 years to win a couple of those things. In the case of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, this is year, what, number 6 with this market being the MVP, and he was able to cash in and win a title. But my bigger point is this. Those guys will stay, unlike Durant, who went to Golden State, unlike Harden, who went to Houston, unlike Russell Westbrook, who eventually said screw it and went wherever his first stop was. That's not going to happen with this current group of Thunder because they're about to win a championship. See, those other guys, the reason Durant left was not because of the market size, was not because of his teammates. It's because he genuinely didn't think he could win a title. If they do win a title and win 3 more games in OKC, then they're going to win several titles. Because I think a bunch of these guys are going to re-sign, they're happy where they are, and they don't ever have to ask themselves, do I need to go to New York or L.A. or Dallas or somewhere else, Miami, to win a championship? If they know they can do it in OKC, then there's no reason to leave OKC. I understand that this day and age in the NBA, a superstar that stays for his franchise is extremely rare. I mean, how many guys off the top of our head can we even name that did that? Like Kobe? One team the whole time. Dirk, one team the whole time. So far, Giannis, Steph Curry, one team the whole time. I'm not suggesting that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to play 15, 17 seasons with the Thunder. But I do think if they win the title, he's going to stick around for the next 4 or 5. He's going to play his entire prime there, and they're going to win a bunch of those things in OKC. You know how hard that is to do? It's damn near impossible. That's why it's so important that they win a title and they're not just good or competitive or fun. These guys have to know that we can stay and win a championship and there's no reason to go anywhere else. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Let's switch gears for a couple of minutes and talk about the Knicks. Because I think the Knicks have found themselves in a very unique position this offseason now that their coaching job is available. Because if your aspirations are to become an NBA head coach and you get offered the job in the biggest market with a great fan base for a team that got further than they've gotten in the last 25 years, that seems like the ideal position, right? I mean, if you want to be a basketball coach, what better job could you get than handed Jalen Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns, a team that damn near went to the NBA Finals, for a rabid fan base in New York City playing at the Garden? I mean, what more could you possibly want? Here's the problem. I think it's going to get even a little bit sweeter with the Knicks. I think they're going to get even better. I think the expectations are going to go even higher. And I think it makes that job even less desirable. What am I talking about? I think they're going to find a way to get Giannis this offseason. I think the New York Knicks understand that they've got the pieces, that Giannis is available, that he wants to be a Knick, and that as long as the conversation is had, it should actually happen. Right now, it's just one of those sports radio things that we talk about because Giannis is under contract and because the Knicks just paired together Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, and we got to see 1 year of it, and it was pretty damn good. So I understand right now this is just fodder. This is just Monday night sports radio conversation. But I promise you, in the next few weeks, in the next couple of months, Giannis is going to get loud. He's going to complain a little bit. He's going to start talking about New York. New York's going to dangle a couple of players out there. Then there's going to be a conversation. The next thing we know, it's going to be breaking news. The same way it was Jimmy Butler is now a member of Golden State or Luka Doncic is now a Laker. I truly believe that that's what we're going to see happen, is that Giannis is now a Knick. And if Giannis is a Knick, then that makes them the favorites. It doesn't just make them good like they were this year or take them over the hump and get them to the NBA Finals. That makes the New York Knicks the favorite next year, if they land Giannis, to win the NBA Finals. And, of course, the roster is going to look different because to get Giannis, you're probably going to have to trade away Karl-Anthony Towns. You might have to get rid of a piece like Bridges or OG Anunoby. But I believe if you put together a healthy Giannis at 31 years old in the prime of his career, and he's healthy and he's happy and he's in New York, with Jalen Brunson, who, same thing, is healthy and in the prime of his career, and now he's got a true big guy. Not that Julius Randle wasn't or Karl-Anthony Towns, but we're talking about one of, if not the best big guy in the land. And you put that guy with Jalen Brunson both in their prime, all of a sudden your expectations go from winning 55 games to winning 68 games to winning the Eastern Conference to getting to the NBA Finals and anything short of getting a championship, if you actually add Giannis to this Knicks team that we just saw, would be considered a disappointment. Which brings us to, who wants that job as the coach? Again, I see both sides of it. If you want to be an NBA coach, you want to take over a good team in a big market with a great fan base, it seems like a great job. But what kind of coach would actually take that job? The names that have been floated out there, a guy like Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd has a gig. He's in Dallas. The fan base loves him. They're pissed off at the general manager, so he gets a little bit of an easy ride. He took the team to the finals just a year ago, and now he's got the number one pick to play with. And seemingly you're going to get a healthy Kyrie and Anthony Davis at some point. I mean, I would argue that that job, that actual gig that Jason Kidd has, is as good as the Knicks job, if not better, because of job security. So if they're going to talk to Jason Kidd, Jason Kidd's going to say back to them, "Nah, I'm good. Nothing against your job, but my current one is better." And I agree with him. Jay Wright said, "I want to stay on TV." Rick Pitino said, "I want to stay coaching St. John's." I mean, at some point, the Knicks are just going to keep going down this list. And it's going to be, okay, we wanted this guy, but he didn't want us. All right, we thought we'd get this guy, but turns out he likes his job better than ours. And now you're going to get into the Mike Malones and the Taylor Jenkins and the Jeff Van Gundys, and nothing against any of those guys. But at some point, if you're going to get rid of Tom Thibodeau, the plan had to be, we're going to fire him because we're going to hire this guy. And so far, I think all the guys they thought they were going to be able to hire have said no. And I think the reason they're saying no is because of the expectations. Look, expectations in life are a good thing at your job, right? We want the boss to think that you can do it. We want your clients to think that you're the best out there. But if it's championship or bust, if you can't screw up at all, that's what happens. Jason Kidd takes that job next year. All of a sudden, They finished third place in the Eastern Conference to get knocked out in the second round of the playoffs. People are calling for his job. Why would you leave where you currently are? It's weird. It's like that Knicks job right now is a good one. If they get Giannis, it's a great one, and it's almost too good for a great coach. I'm very curious who the Knicks actually are going to land, because the difference between who they think they can get and who actually wants the job, it seems like they're very far off. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Coming up on the other side, let's get back into the NFL right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Welcome back into the show. For JR on the Sports Machine, Sean Levine. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Welcome back into the show. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. We're about to start the second period of Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Panthers up 2-0. Thank you for the guy that called in and corrected. I was telling this really good story about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and how he's played his whole career for the Thunder and how only Kobe and Dirk and Steph, and the story seemed pretty good, except for I was lying to you, because honestly, I forgot that he got drafted by the Clippers. And then the caller reminded me of that. Yo, the Clippers got to be kicking themselves. Like, because as good as this Thunder team is, let's just be honest, they're great and they're championship caliber because they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? I think that if you took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, this version, and put him on any other team in the NBA with their current roster, including what the Clippers have, then maybe they're not 68 wins and beating up on everybody the same way this Thunder team did and back-to-back best record in the Western Conference, but they're certainly in the championship conversation. Like, very rarely do you trade a player early on in their career and then it comes back to bite you this quick. And it feels like that's what's going on. Where are we for Shai? This is year, what, six? Year five in the Thunder uniform, and he's already the MVP, the leading scorer in the playoffs, leading scorer in the regular season. He's going to be the MVP of the finals. His team's about to win the championship. Yo, the Los Angeles Clippers probably, maybe, could have done a lot of those same things had they just done nothing. So, again, that's one of those trades where you look back a few years later and go, oops. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Speaking of new players on new teams, Pittsburgh got their quarterback, the Steelers, and Aaron Rodgers. And it's funny because Mike Tomlin has a certain type, right? We've all got our type, whether it's a type of food, a type of girl, a type of movie. We've all got our type. And his type, talk about Mike Tomlin, is a quarterback that's not going to turn the ball over, that's a veteran, that's smart, that doesn't have a huge arm, but he's accurate. You know what I'm talking about. Ben Roethlisberger for like 12, 15 years, took him to 3 Super Bowls, won a couple of championships. It's all gravy, baby. And then it feels like ever since then, Roethlisberger retired, Pittsburgh keeps going 10-7 or 9-8 or 11-6, and they go over 500 and they make the playoffs, and the playoffs come around, they lose their first round playoff game, and then the offseason's here. That kind of feels like what it's been since Ben Roethlisberger's retired, because that's exactly how it has been since Ben Roethlisberger retired. The team's not terrible. The team's not great. They're good enough to back in the playoffs, but they're not good enough to do anything once they get there. And the last couple of years, it's been the same thing because of the quarterback. Tomlin's still great. The defense has been pretty good. But when you've got Russell Wilson / Justin Fields running the show, or Kenny Pickett / Mason Rudolph running the show, there's a ceiling to this thing, right? You can only win so many games, and when you get to the playoffs, you're probably not going to beat other playoff teams with that guy at quarterback. So the Steelers decided, you know what? We need to take the next step. And the next step is getting a quarterback kind of like Ben Roethlisberger. And the closest thing to Ben Roethlisberger in 2025 is name Aaron Rodgers. He's going to have a good touchdown-to-interception ratio. He's going to throw like 210 yards per game. He's not going to have a bunch of deep bombs. And they're going to win however many games they end up winning. I think that the Steelers are delusional. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers held out for Aaron Rodgers because they looked at what Peyton Manning did 10 years ago when he hurt his neck, when he was on the Colts, when the Colts traded him away to the Broncos, and a couple of years later, the Broncos won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers saw what happened a couple of years ago with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who went out there and got... I mean, there's no way that most people thought Tom Brady was going to go to the Bucs and win a Super Bowl. Maybe you thought the Bucs were going to be relevant. Maybe you thought they were going to be good. Maybe you even thought they were going to win a playoff game or two. But be honest with me. Did you really think that Brady was going to switch teams, switch leagues, come out of retirement, and win a Super Bowl right away? Damn. I guess, after all, he is the GOAT. To me, Pittsburgh thinks that that's what they're getting. A guy that is going to come in, that's going to lead your team in the playoffs. When the playoffs come around, he's going to use his experience, going to win a couple of games, and then all of a sudden we're going to look up and the Steelers are in the AFC Championship game against my Chiefs or the Bills or the Ravens. And I'm here to tell them that ain't happening. Not this version of Aaron Rodgers. This version of Aaron Rodgers over the last, let's call it 4 years, and we can take out the year that he got injured where he didn't put up any stats. His QBR is 24. Out of 32 starting quarterbacks. So we've gone now. This will be 5 years when he starts game one for the Pittsburgh Steelers since Aaron Rodgers has been even a top half the league quarterback. See, the problem is some of us are stuck in our prime. I remember back in the day, I had this great long hair. I had more game than Milton Bradley. Dressed nice. Felt really good about myself. All kinds of confidence. I was the man. I'd go out to a bar and pick up any girl I wanted. Well, that was like 15 years ago. Now I'm bald. I got a gut. I got man boobs. I'm anxious. Like, I'm not that same guy. And we all like to remember ourselves in our prime. I'm not mad at you for that. But Aaron Rodgers, I'm here to tell you, in Pittsburgh, I'm here to tell you, that's not the Aaron Rodgers you're getting. You're not getting discount double check. You're not getting four-time MVP. You're getting a very average quarterback at best. You know what you're getting? You're getting Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career. You're basically getting what you had last year in Russell Wilson. And if the plan for Pittsburgh is we're going to get Aaron Rodgers, but he's going to make us better, well, how much better does he really make you? Does the Pittsburgh front office actually believe, now that they got this version, 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, ayahuasca, dark room, injury, this holding out, no mini camp. This version of Aaron Rodgers, how many wins is he worth? Maybe one in the playoffs that they haven't been able to get the last couple of years. But if you can't win the Super Bowl, then why not just look toward the future? And Pittsburgh had tons of options. You could have seen what you had at Justin Fields. You could have kept Russell Wilson. You could have said, you know what's up, a stopgap year with a guy like Jameis Winston. Hell, if you wanted to, you had four different chances in the draft to take Shedeur Sanders and put him on the field. But you held out for this version of Aaron Rodgers. Good luck. He ain't Tom Brady. Not Peyton Manning. Guarantee you that. Because I look at the hierarchy of the AFC, and Pittsburgh is not anywhere near the conversation. They're just not. Does anybody think Pittsburgh's any better than third place in their own division? I know Cincinnati had a down year last year, but that was the exception to the rule. If Burrow plays anything close to what he did last year, that team gets right and wins 12 or 13 games. The Ravens win 12 or 13 games in their sleep. The only thing I can say about the Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers-led team, is that they're not the worst team in the division. That's definitely the Browns. But that's it. They didn't all of a sudden get in the same conversation talking about the Steelers because they got Aaron Rodgers with the Chiefs or Buffalo or Baltimore. There's a huge gap between all those great accomplished teams and what this Steelers team is. In the NFC, I got to be dead honest with y'all. I can't figure out the hierarchy. Outside of Philadelphia, if you said, all right, sports machine, give me all the division winners in the NFC, I'm pretty confident telling you that Philadelphia is going to win the East. The Cowboys stink. The Giants are terrible. And D.C. probably takes a step back from what they were a year ago. Still a playoff team. Still have a great quarterback. And still have a lot of potential going forward. But they won 12 games in the regular season last year. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a 10, call it an 11-win team. So what I'm saying is I think Philly, no matter what happens, as long as they stay relatively healthy, they rack up so many wins this year. 13, 14, something like that. They get the bye. The playoffs go back through Philadelphia. Maybe I'm just got PTSD as a Chiefs fan from the Super Bowl, but I remember that shellacking. Look, the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team. You could argue they got one of the best coaches, one of the best quarterbacks. They got the best running back. Their defense is legitimate. Like, that team isn't going anywhere, and they're clearly the best team in the NFC. Who else are we sure is a playoff lock in that conference? Are we sure the Lions are? Because the Lions, to me, are a team that I don't think their window is completely shut on them, but it's closing fast. Like, you better get a crowbar and jam that thing open. Because a couple of years ago, there was this really good feeling. You got the new coach. You got the new quarterback. You won 13 games. And then you get knocked out of the playoffs. But it's okay. Because you're the Lions. And you've sucked at football our entire lives. The only time anybody ever talks about you is when you had Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, or Thanksgiving. That's it. You're the Lions. So a couple of years ago, when you won all those games and won the division and won a playoff game, everybody's patting you on the back. And then last year, they did it again. Well, at least during the regular season. What'd they go, 14-3? They had the bye. It was all good until it wasn't, and they lost in the playoffs. I wouldn't be too surprised if that was their chance the last couple of years. And all of a sudden, other teams in the division are getting better, particularly Green Bay. Chicago can't get much worse. You'd think maybe they take a little bit of a step back, maybe win 10, 11 games this upcoming season. Maybe they're a wild card team and Green Bay wins the division. I'm not saying that Detroit's a bad football team, but we made them out to be great before they really ever accomplished anything. And I don't really know what to expect from that team this year. Same thing with Green Bay. I don't know what to expect from the Rams. I think that San Francisco is still part of that conversation, but I'm not 1,000,000% sure. I mean, let's be honest. Last year, they were probably the biggest disappointment in the entire NFL. They were the favorite to win the Super Bowl. The San Francisco 49ers were heading into last year. Better odds in Buffalo, better odds in Baltimore, better odds in Kansas City, better odds in Detroit. They were the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and they missed the playoffs. And you're probably thinking, yeah, because they had a bunch of guys that were injured. Okay, that's true. But this isn't chess, right? This is football. This is the NFL, and every team has injuries, and for whatever reason, San Francisco, yeah, they had a lot more than most teams. They couldn't overcome them. I'm just not completely sold that's an elite football team that's still part of the Super Bowl conversation. In the NFC, honest with you, it's Philadelphia, and then I don't know who's next. If you want to tell me it's D.C., Detroit, L.A., a bunch of these teams, I'm not going to argue with you. In the AFC, it's pretty clear. There's three big dogs, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. And I think Cincinnati's part of that conversation also, but I reserve judgment. That's a weird-ass football team. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Before we get another sports update and then wrap things up on the other side, the Bears and the Jets, to me, are the two most interesting teams heading into this season because of their quarterbacks. When you look at, let's start with the Jets and Justin Fields, that's the great unknown in the last 5 years, I would say, in the NFL. I mean, if I talk about every other quarterback, you probably have an opinion on him in the league. You probably think, okay, Trevor Lawrence sucks, Patrick Mahomes is awesome, Jalen Hurts is awesome, Geno Smith's getting old. Like, you could formulate an opinion. If I ask you, how good is Justin Fields, saying I have no idea is a perfectly acceptable answer. Because that dude's had one of the weirdest starts to his career of any NFL quarterback ever. You get drafted in the top 10. You get thrown in the fire with the Bears. You got a first-year head coach. It was never going to work. And then all of a sudden, once you start playing some football, they trade you away. You go to Pittsburgh. They throw you in the field. You win some games. They take you off the field. Nobody knows how good that guy is. He doesn't know. Pittsburgh doesn't know. The Jets don't know. You don't know. I don't know. I can't wait to see what Justin Fields is now that he knows he's at least going to get an opportunity. Maybe he sucks, and I'm going to have to come back on here and eat my words. But maybe he goes out there and wins 12 games. We really don't know. But I do know that if he's awesome, and if Jaden Daniels is awesome again, better than he was last year, they go out there and win 13 games, win the division. He's the best quarterback in the NFC. Bears fans are going to vomit every Sunday when they wake up before they turn on their TVs. Like, it's one thing if Caleb Williams struggles again and the team wins 7 or 8 games and they miss the playoffs. I think Bears fans could accept that. And then year three, we'll kind of start to judge the win-loss record and Caleb Williams for real. But, man, if Justin Fields is doing his thing and Jaden Daniels is doing his thing and the Bears still suck, it could be a long season for Bears fans. Yo, this hockey game is crazy. I knew I should have played the over. 6.5 looked like a big total, even though we got, what, 9 in the last game. Since I've been jabbering, we've gotten tons more goals. The Panthers are now up 3-1 with 14:40 left in the second period. And all of a sudden, we've already got 4 goals on the board. 3 for the Panthers, 1 for the Oilers. Something tells me that's going to be talked about in your update coming up right now with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
No JR tonight. You got me. Final segment. Sports Machine, Sean Levine with my guy Ryan back in studio spinning the wheels. 888-710-4ISN is the number. Speaking of numbers, they are wild in the Stanley Cup game. Panthers on the board again. 4-1 right now. The Rats are a-flying on the ice down in Florida. 10 minutes left in the second period. Again, Panthers have a 4-1 lead over the Oilers. Is it just rats that you throw on the ice, or is it rodents of your choice? Could you throw, like, a hamster? Could you throw perhaps a mouse? What about anybody? Remember ROUSs from, what was that movie called? Princess Bride? The rodents of unusual size? How sick would that be? Someone from the upper deck just tosses in just this 50-pound rat. Like, what the hell? How are we going to get that thing off the ice? Rats on the ice in Florida aplenty. 4-1, the Panthers up over the Oilers. On the baseball diamond, top of the 11th, the Cubs just took a lead with two outs in Philly, 3-2. Tampa and Boston in a good win in the 8th, 6-5. And Atlanta just opened up their lead in the 8th over Milwaukee, 5-1. Again, 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Earlier on in the show, we were talking some hoops, and it made me think, the changing of the guard is right in front of us, where if you gave me a free $1 million and said, all right, Sports Machine, do what you want with this money, but you got to bet it, yes or no. Does LeBron or Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or James Harden or Russell Westbrook, do any of those dudes ever get back to the NBA Finals? Do they ever win another ring? I would say you can give me all those veterans, and my answer would be no. Now give me my $1 million. I think those guys' days are done. Going forward, I think you're going to see a lot of SGA, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, all those dudes. We're seeing the changing of the guard in front of us, which made me curious. Since Jordan retired, it's kind of the generation that's going away. All those guys that I just mentioned. Who would be on the Mount Rushmore? Who have been the four best NBA basketball players to step on a court since Michael Jordan retired? Here's the names I came up with. If yours is different, feel free to hit me up or just yell at your steering wheel if you want to. LeBron, obvious, end of story. Some people think he's the second best basketball player behind Michael Jordan of all time. He's got the rings. He's got the MVPs. He's got all the accolades. We're not going to argue too far. LeBron makes the post-Jordan Mount Rushmore basketball players. Kobe probably, this is going to sound weird, probably a little bit underrated. Only because we talk about LeBron before we talk about Kobe most of the time. I actually think there's an argument that Kobe had a better career, but we'll save that for another day because I've only got a few minutes left here on the Infinity Sports Network. But on top of that, he played with the Lakers. So when you start to talk about him, was he better than Kareem? Was he better than Shaq? Was he better than Magic? Like, some people would say he's only the third or fourth best Laker of all time. For my money, he's a lock too. Since Jordan, if we're making the Mount Rushmore of NBA players, LeBron, Kobe, Steph's got to be on there. I mean, Steph Curry's the greatest three-point shooter of all time. He's got all those rings. Steph's definitely on there also. And then this is where the argument gets good. Maybe you've got Tim Duncan. I'm not going to fight you there. All the championships, consistency. What does he have, five rings? If you want to say LeBron, Kobe, Steph Curry, and Tim Duncan on your post-Jordan Mount Rushmore, I ain't mad at you. Personally, I would put Shaquille O'Neal there. I'd put Shaq there. As dominant as he was for as long as he was and all the championship rings, I feel very comfortable saying Kobe, LeBron, Shaq, and Steph. But if you want to put Duncan, there's only one other guy that could even be part of this conversation, and he's going right now. And I think he needs to win one more ring before he can get on this type of a statue. If we're talking about all-time greatness, if we're saying post-Jordan, we're talking about 20, 25 years, and we're listing the four best players. Nikola Jokic has to be in this conversation somewhere. He's just a tough one to figure out, man. Because if you look at LeBron James, he's absolutely chiseled out of granite, and he can do anything with a basketball. And he looks smooth doing it. If you look at Nikola Jokic, he looks like your great uncle. He looks like some dude at the YMCA that still wouldn't be the first pick. Yet if you want to talk about actual skill sets and who's the better basketball player, damn, now you're really getting into a conversation. And I truly believe that. As much as we talk about LeBron this, LeBron that, LeBron-Jordan comparisons, if you want to say who's the better offensive player between LeBron and Nikola Jokic for their entire career, again, that's a fun conversation to have. We don't have time for it. But I'm keeping Jokic off for now until he wins another ring. I mean, how many does Shaq have? Four? Five? Steph's got four? Kobe's got 5. LeBron has 4. The other guys that I thought about, Kevin Durant, yeah, but no. Iverson. Dirk. Dirk maybe has a little bit of a fight only because if you look at the teams that he played on, not exactly the best running mates throughout his entire career. Unless the Pacers cash in and win the finals this year, I would say that Mavericks team with Dirk, ironically also coached by Rick Carlisle, is the most unlikely championship team in my lifetime, at least. Dwayne Wade, Giannis, maybe James Harden, but that's who I got. LeBron, Kobe, Shaq, and Steph. We got a couple of minutes left. You know how we do. Give me some beats, overrated, underrated, before we get out of here. We talked a lot about the Hit King earlier on in the show. I got a little bit, let's just call it what it is. I got pissed off that they let Pete Rose in to, he's going to get allowed in the Hall of Fame. He's now eligible, essentially, less than a year after he passes. Overrated or underrated, Pete Rose?
Underrated? His game is underrated. His name itself is overrated, though.
Pete Rose, man, like, I understand that he looked like he's a little rough around the edges. Like, he did. Let's just call it what it is. Like, Pete Rose looked, if you never spoke to him, he looked like your scary, like, great uncle that you see every other year at the family reunion that you don't even talk to. But I'm going to be honest with you. I did talk to him a couple of times. A couple of times on the radio, once in person in Las Vegas. The guy's a total sweetheart. Did he like to bet? Did he break the laws again? Yeah. Come on. How long are we going to hold that against him? Pete Rose, underrated baseball player, underrated human being. Joe Mazzulla.
I think he's underrated.
What?
I do. I think he's dealt with a lot of injuries, and even still, the Celtics are a great regular season team. He won a ring last year, and if Jason Tatum doesn't tear his Achilles, Jalen Brown doesn't hurt his meniscus,
they still lose.
Porzingis doesn't get sick, Drew Holiday doesn't hurt his hamstring and finger, I think they're in a better spot.
Bro, you got more excuses than my ex. They were going to lose.
I'm just saying. They were
gonna,
all hurt.
Yeah, but they were going to lose anyway. Like, Tatum getting hurt certainly didn't help the situation, but they were already down. All those other things seem like convenient excuses to me. Porzingis, I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes he has 40, sometimes he has 4, and we forget he's even on the team. That team, to me, if they don't win at least 2 more championships with this group of players, dude, they got 4 All-Stars, they got 3 first-team All-NBA players, they got 5 Olympians. What are we talking about here? Like, Joe Mazzulla, to me, is wildly overrated. He should have 2 rings in 3 years. I know that's high expectations, but 2 of those years, including this one, early exits, he's fine. Zebras as pets, overrated, underrated.
Overrated. They're too messy.
Never had one.
Never
too
had
messy.
One.
Too messy.
I'm just going to assume they're going to be messy. It's a lot to take care of.
They
and
do
they're
seem
just,
messy.
They're not as cool as other pets would be.
Such as? I mean, a zebra's a pretty cool pet, bro.
I don't know. Tigers are cooler.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, if you got a tiger, I'd be more impressed than if you had a zebra. That's true.
You got like a cheetah. That'd be cool.
A cheetah would be dope. Aren't they? Am I wrong here? Like, I'm barely a sports radio host, let alone a geologist or whatever. Aren't they extinct, like, close to it? Or I'm just making that up?
No,
we got plenty of zebras.
Maybe some of them.
We're good there?
Maybe a certain
rhino,
species?
Maybe? Dinosaurs?
Rhinos are almost extinct.
Dinosaurs? They're gone, right?
Basically, yeah.
Basically, okay. Overrated, underrated. The Cincinnati Bengals is upcoming season.
Underrated, I think.
Underrated.
I think they'll eventually get a deal done with Hendrickson, and they'll.
I don't
that
know,
out.
Man. I don't know. It feels like they're kind of at odds. If I said they got to win 11 games, over or under?
I'd say under. I'd say they get 10.
Yeah, the division's good, right? Like,
yeah.
Pittsburgh's going to be better. We know how good Baltimore is. Cleveland sucks like a Hoover vacuum, but besides that, you could really convince me that any of those other teams win the division. We talked earlier today about Pearl Jam, overrated and underrated.
Underrated. They're great. Saw them live a month ago. They were great.
Did you get peed on like I did?
No, I didn't.
Again, don't knock it till you've tried it. Like, I'm not saying that it made the concert.
Don't knock
it. I'm not saying it made the concert any better, Ryan. I'm just saying it also didn't make it worse. Like, you were complaining, oh, I got a beer poured on me at the Dave Matthews Band concert. Screw DMB. Dude, I got peed on at a Pearl Jam concert, and it's just like, I wear it with pride.
I was 7 at Dave Matthews Band.
Jeremy's
broken. Convinced as a kid that they were bad.
No, dude, they're great. And getting peed on the concerts, like, that's how you live. Peed on or beer poured on you. You know what I'm saying? So, what do they say? It's better to be pissed off than pissed on, I believe.
Yeah.
All righty. Devin Booker, overrated, underrated?
A little overrated. I think he hasn't done anything on a winning team.
Yeah, but he got screwed because they decided, you know what? Even though we're up 2-0 a couple of years ago on the Milwaukee Bucks, let's break this thing up. Let's add a couple of pieces. Let's bring in this Kevin Durant. Let's bring in this Bradley Beal. Pretend like we have a big three. They were just fine with Devin Booker. To me, Devin Booker was the key to that team. They've realized that. That's who they're going to build around going forward. I actually think Devin Booker's a little bit underrated, and I think that at some point in the next couple of years, if the Phoenix Suns can just get a couple of right pieces around him, we're going to see them deep in the playoffs once again. Overrated, underrated, I told you I sliced my nail up playing a ski ball.
Is overrated, underrated, like the injury itself or just like
ski ball? No, the game itself. Yeah, the injury sucked. Overrated?
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, ski ball is a little bit overrated. Allen Iverson, overrated, underrated?
Underrated. Culture.
Underrated. AI. Practice? We're talking about practice? One more. And by the way, Bart Winkler's coming up next. So apparently there was, what was that memorabilia that I was talking about that got sold for all the money? It was the Rafa racket from the French Open. Pulled in $160,000, so it made us talk about the trough in the Metrodome that somebody bought for $425. A trough toilets. Last one before we get out of here. Overrated, underrated.
Overrated. It's disgusting.
Isn't it, though?
It's horrible. Isn't it?
Worst thing in the world. Are those still a thing?
I hope not.
I mean, there have been plenty of times when I've, got gun-shy. I was ready to go. I had to go. I was like 6 beers in, and I just stood there, zippered down, looked around, nothing happened. Forget about the trough. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to you for checking out the show. Don't forget, Bart Winkler's coming up next. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine. I'll talk to you next time right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Good night.